We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, this is the last great Coliseum edition of Stack of Pennies presented by Mobile One. Big week to break down. Denny Hamlin getting the dub, punching his ticket into the round of 12, and there was some goers who did not make the cut. We're going to break all that down. We're also going to break down my day. Started off good, ended on a lull, so we'll dig into that. Left Bristol feeling frustrated at myself, as well as some pit row boats and woes. All this today we're going to get into. It's going to be a great one, so buckle up. This is Stacking Pennies.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hello, friends. I am Corey LaJoy, driver of the number 7 Chevy Camaro, joined by my two buddies to my right, Danielle Trotta. How's it going?
Back from Bristol.
Yep.
Got all the race in, drove home in the rain.
It did look promising, actually.
It's
off
done.
And on, bleak. Sprinkles.
Yes.
Very bleak. But you know what? Once we got that vortex effect, we were good to go.
I was trying to tell everybody.
Shout out Jeff Cluck. Yeah. He hates it whenever I get on my vortex.
I say it all the time.
It works, especially at Bristol. Just the configuration of the stands, it actually makes the swirl into the atmosphere 3 times larger, more effective.
It's amazing.
I don't know. It's just science, man.
Science.
You can't argue it. And that's Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang.
Survive in advance.
My kid got sent home from school today.
Why?
He stuck a raisin up his nose. And it got stuck. Yeah, I'm in the playoffs, right? I'm at practice. I leave my phone in my locker. I'm trying to focus. Get to my phone, 10 missed calls from my wife. Call me. Call her. FaceTime me. I'm like, what happened? Wrecked the car? What the hell's going on?
Cat in the house.
Your kid got sent home from school. I'm like, what did he do? Puke? Poop his pants? What happened? Stuck a raisin up his nose. I said, babe, I thought the house was burning. Stuck a raisin up his nose. I said, he's 3.
Yeah.
Probably not the first time it's getting better than crayon.
How do we fix that situation?
So she took him to the pediatrician. They couldn't find it.
Did
so then I guess
swallow?
He got back in the car and raisin. He fell asleep and his nose running and she saw it. It kind of worked its way down and she like operation went into the house, left him in the car sleeping, went in the house, got a pair of tweezers and like operationed it out. And then he woke up and he started feeling his nostril like, oh, things not in there anymore.
What's what a going deal. On?
So that's, hey man.
Wow.
Everybody wants to go cup racing. So, that's the problems you have. That's what you're dealing with.
It is, man. If we do game night, Chris is the one you want to have on your team for operation. She didn't wake him up and tweeze that raisin out of Cruz's nose.
Moms are impressive, dude.
They are.
I thought I was doing some goes ripping eights at practice. No.
No, no.
She's tweezering.
She's ripping out raisins out of your kid's nose.
Yep. So that's my day.
That's great.
Part of it.
That is.
How was your Saturday? The good?
My weekend was really good.
Couldn't win a stage?
It was really good right up to the point of impact. So we unloaded, had some pace. Like we talked about in spare change, it wasn't surprising to me to see how good we were because we were really good on the simulator. We had an extra block of time that we normally don't get on the motion rig. We only get on the motion rig probably once every 4 weeks, maybe once every 6 weeks. So we were on the graveyard shift on, what was that, Tuesday night. We were on there from like 7 till 9:30, and you're just – the motion rig gives you a lot more – fine-tuning abilities than what the static does and what we do each and every week. So I felt really confident about what we were bringing there, just learning, progressing our setup, progressing our baseline. So when we were 6th in practice and pretty good on lap averages, I'm like, man, we got a pretty good hot rod here. Qualified, made the final round of qualifying, which we were – Ryan and I both were probably the only two that weren't surprised about that. I mean, we're sitting there and it's like, it's probably going to take a mid-20 to make it, judging off qualifying last year, and we're on 25. So we felt good about that. All the guys were pumped up, which we should be. It's a big deal, especially there, to have a good qualifying position because it's so hard to pass, especially when they spray the resin. So leave Saturday or Friday night feeling pretty good about it. Busy day Saturday, bunch of media, bunch of appearances. Driver intros for the race is, again, electric.
Oh, yeah. How'd the intro song go?
It was perfect.
What'd you end up
picking? It gave me chills. That T.I. song, Pardon, with says, getting my bag, stacking my pennies.
Nice. That's perfect.
And it was like time to perfection.
Nice.
Got the crowd fired up.
Yes.
A lot of cheers. A lot of stacking pennies.
You had the smoke going.
Had the smoke going. Had the swag going.
Love
the
it.
Fire suit walk, as Jeff Dickerson says. And then we were locked in.
Go watch your kid try to sing the national anthem. That was
was almost a disaster. But we made it. Yep. Well, Levi naturally just found his way to Miss Melanie, who is orchestrating, you know, the one in front.
Yes, I saw
telling
Miss
the
Melanie.
Kids how to sing.
Yeah.
Well, if you looked, my kid was on her lap.
Is that where Levi was? Yeah. That him? Oh my god.
Yeah, I was like,
because I was
on
looking
now.
In the crowd and I couldn't see him, and
no,
there was
no,
one
he
little boy
in the
on his
he
lap,
was literally
and I was
sitting
like,
on Miss Melanie's
lap. So
I was like, you kidding me?
I love that.
Yeah. So luckily,
what's wrong with that?
Because he should be in the crowd singing, hand over his chest.
He loves Miss Melanie.
He does. Oh, they're like best buddies. So the fact that we had Harper.
They had crew in the front row, and I'm like, hey, y'all can't do that. Like, you're going to shut this whole thing down. Then the microphone was in front of him. I'm like, hey, like, you can't leave him.
Wasn't
there.
He the one with
it's
the
a bad
did
idea.
He stay in the front?
He had a cool bristle. No, I got him out of there.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Harper started crying because she couldn't see us because we were standing off the side. Larson looked at me like, bro, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah, my kids are crazy.
We're rookies at this thing, too. So we averted
good.
That. Yep. So we get in. And we're ready to go. 500 laps of Bristol, night race, career best starting position. Let's freaking go. Fire off, get around Clyde, get around a couple good ones. I think we settle in seventh or eighth, and I'm like, we got us a pretty good hot rod here.
Hooking the bottom. Old school.
Which, hard to pass, but you got to hit the bottom. If you slipped a tire, you missed the bottom, you were getting passed and you were getting freight train. So we settled in. I think we went maybe 60 laps. Caution comes out right when the leader started catching traffic. That was a decision. If some guys want to take tires, some guys want to stay out. We were, generally speaking, if we are the chance to be on the front row, we will kind of hedge our bet of our strategy against that. So if everybody comes in front of you and you're looking at the pace car, you're going to stay out and just take the track position. So we stayed out, chose the top, had a good restart, led like 50 or led probably 40 at that point in time. Caution comes out again. Chris Bell gets to second on newer tires, and he was probably the fastest car at that point of the race.
He was moving early.
Dude, the full transparency, right? Everybody watches on Sunday. I don't get out front very often to lead laps. I think that was a triple of a career high on Saturday night. The amount of grip that clean air gives you is unbelievable.
Oh, this is right. This guy's making it look so easy.
Yeah.
It's felt just a little different.
It is unbelievable how much better your car sticks to
it's
the
not
road
just a myth
when there's not 15 people in front of you. I was like, oh, like you're actually driving less hard in the lead because like your just car drives so freaking good.
Clean air versus dirty air.
Oh, it's well, even the air in second just because it's less disturbed than, you know, 10th or wherever else. So we took advantage of that, led a bunch of laps. Bubba and the 45 were behind us. They weren't able to get by us. Chris worked his way to second. Caution come out as he was kind of underneath of me. So I knew I needed to get a good restart with like 12 to go and try to hold them off.
I was proud of that launch.
So I was in between first and second, and I think that he launched in second. So I did like a couple practice launches on the backstretch in second. I'm like, I don't think it goes good enough. So right when we were going to the zone, I bumped it down the first gear.
I'm going for it.
Yeah, and you just short shift. Like you get the thing, get the weight moving, and then you grab second gear, and I was able to clear Chris, and he hounded me. I think he got me with like six to go. I'm like, damn it. Really wanted to win that stage.
I would have loved for you to keep a stage point away from him.
Gosh.
Or a playoff point.
But he was strong. Obviously, pole sitter. He had a hot rod and fresher tires than I did. But nonetheless, it was really good to have our car in that position.
Good to see.
Leading laps. We had Nigu on the car again, so give those guys a lot of
TV time. What are you thinking out front? Like, you said you're not doing it a lot. Are you asking TJ Bell to do anything different? Are you driving defensively, looking behind you a lot? Are you running your own race? Are you quiet?
So like, when I was in front of Bubba tire for tire, I knew I was a little bit better than him in clean air. So I was actually able to get just like settled in and wasn't really abusing the car because I knew that as guys of new tires worked behind me, I was going to need a little bit more to try to defend for the stage win. Then we got the caution and it kind of re-racked it. But when the 20 caught me, I found myself kind of racing him in the corner because he was a little better. He had a little bit better grip into the center than I did. So when I found myself charging the center, I should have probably backed him up and just stopped his momentum and then got a good launch. That just comes from more experience and also more experience from TJ. We talked about that today in our post-race meeting of like just a little more information of like, hey, park it at the half mark and get a good launch and you'll be able to stay in front of him. So we learned from that. Still finished second, got good stage points, which isn't something we're able to do a lot. And fast forward past the wreck for a second, we still finished 25th, but we got the same amount of points as if we finished 15th. Yeah, without stage points. So that's a big deal, which is something you, in our position, we hadn't really put a lot of value on because we just try to get the best finish. I think talking to Sparks now, it's if we can have the pace to qualify well, have the pace to get stage points, we have to make that another goal to we try to achieve because it's a good way to start closing the gap. But anyways, the guys who stayed out or the guys who pitted, we come down during stage break, so we came out like 20th, 21st. Still had a good car. Got back to like 13th at the end of stage two. And then comes
– uh-oh.
I wish it was a close call, but it was – I guess it was the Corey
– Calamity of
Calamity of the week.
We got an onboard.
Man, we got onboard. We got a camera. We got Dale Jr. announcing. We got the whole thing because you can't hide. There's cameras everywhere. Following Eric Jones here, the aggression level was fairly high. I knew that we needed to get some track position so we didn't go a lap down. Come off four here, and the 43 was struggling to get off the corner. My aggression level here on lap 115 is probably a little bit too much, and he got off the bottom. I tried to make a run and spun a left rear tire, and that's all it took. That little momentary – yabow! That momentary – I wouldn't even say lapse of judgment because I knew what I was doing, but it was probably just ill-advised. So I spun the left rear tire there, tank slapped it, and freaking lost it.
How much of that is because beef with Eric Jones? Like, are you less patient with him because of the fact that he's wrecked you twice this year?
Probably so, right? If you see somebody that you're generally want to get in front of, obviously the aggression level was too high for the outcome that was, and it threw away what could have potentially been a top 10 day pretty easily. So I was super duper frustrated. And, you know, I was riding here today and just like you feel the weight of, I feel like a quarterback that threw a pick on the game winning drive, you know, and I know situationally it wasn't the end of the stage or wasn't the end of the race, but I still feel like my mistake negated an entire weekend of positive things we did as a team. So trying to put weight into the progressions we're making as a team, trying to put weight into learning from it of like down and distance of when to have the aggression level turned up, when to have it turned down, how to communicate, to pull the reins back a little bit when you feel like you got a really good car. Because I hate feeling like on a Tuesday I let my team down when they gave me a really fast car. So
I get that.
It freaking sucks.
Yeah, it's like – it's like that we've talked about on here is like the tale of two careers, right? Like when you run in 20th or 25th, it's like you can make those mistakes and it's okay. But you start running better and it's like you make those mistakes and you're like, all right, I don't want to be the weak leg here. And I'm like, okay, I have to start holding myself to a little bit higher standard because I think Logano touched on it on Sirius and he said, I don't know how to run 15th, right? I don't know how to run 15th to 25th because it's different.
Yeah,
and you've said that.
It's ruthless.
I mean, we've talked about it on here quite a bit. It's like, it's ruthless, but it's also like, it happens. And
yeah,
when you get into the top 10, it's way different.
We talked about that today. It's like when, you know, Sparks and I went to lunch, and he's like, man, we can take a 22nd place car and run 17th with it. Like, you are one of the best at that. I'll give you that. But I have self-admittedly taken when we have top 15 cars and made mistakes on pit road, put myself in bad positions, hit the fence because the amount of difference of drivers just in that little step from the 20th range to the 10th range, you're that's getting closer to the pointy end of the spear, right? So you're not going to be able to outdrive those guys 8th to 12th as often as you can outdrive the guys from 19th to 24th. So for me, just settling into that of like trusting the pace of our car, the speed of our car is a little bit of an adjustment, which is a good adjustment to have, right? I mean, we're going and we have legitimately built, like our goals have went from let's just finish the race to let's just run 30th to let's just go run 20th. And now we're like, okay, how do we run 10th?
Let's get stage points.
How do we get 10, stage points, right? How do we look towards next year and adjust our philosophies to like go try to make the playoffs, which I think that we are trending in that direction. And I'm super excited about it, especially with the news coming out this week of Spire again pushing all the chips onto the table of the sport, going to buy another charter for an unprecedented amount of money.
40
millions,
bills?
As Pat Maggot says, and millions of dollars. 40
tens of millions.
40 mil?
Allegedly.
For one.
For one. Not even charter. Parts. Just a piece of paper that says,
yeah.
Here you go, guys.
One time I asked like an owner, I was like, what do you get? Like, do you have a charter? Like, is it a medallion? You get a little medal, a little pin, a little plate. He's
I think
like,
it's an email.
It's an email.
Yeah, like a spam
really?
Account. Like, he's it like, could go yeah. to, hey, check your spam. Did you get that email? Right. No, shoot, I didn't
he's
get
like,
it.
I'm like, you don't have it printed out? He's like, nah, it's yeah, somewhere it's in my email.
Right underneath my front gate advertisement again. Like, oh, hang on. Let me don't lose my charter agreement.
The most important thing is like, what is BJ's outfit going to look like now? That he's got access to
his,
multi-million.
If,
this guy is going to look
spikes on his
awesome.
Shoes were an inch. Now they're going to be 3 inches.
He's going to look like, what was that? The Legion of Doom? Where were the old wrestlers that come out with the spikes on and everything? That's what he's going to look
pads.
Like. Yes.
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 Congrats to BJ McLeod, Matt Tiff, Joe Falk.
Love that.
Those guys bet on the sport in their own right and came away with the Brinks truck.
And what's interesting about that transaction is, and Justin Marks alluded to this at the presser, which by the way, through the window, I saw you racing to the driver's meeting, like right as the press conference started.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's Corey. We've never seen a transaction in the history of the charter system exactly like this. So Spire acquires the charter for reportedly $40 million from LiveFast. But then immediately, you can't even use the term lease. I don't even think it's technically – Trackhouse is not technically leasing the charter from Spire. Zane Smith is going to run for Spire. I have questions. He's going to run for Spire, but is it a Trackhouse – he's a Trackhouse driver. He's signed by Trackhouse, but driving a Spire car.
Yes.
Yes. The car is – he will have Trackhouse engineers, from what I understand in the presser, Trackhouse crew chief, Trackhouse telemetry information. He will be – in competition meetings with Trackhouse drivers, but driving with you guys, you and whoever's
shop.
In the 77, out of your shop. What do you make of this dynamic? We've never seen
us.
Anything
I,
like
I,
it.
I think that, it, I mean, Zane is a championship guy. I think he's got a great temperament. I think he's got a really high ceiling, and I think he's already proved in a couple cup races already that he's got what it takes. So just that guy alone, in the simulator, setting a high watermark, giving you feedback in his own way of how to make our cars better, is going to supplement what we're doing. Then you add in the Trackhouse element of if there's something they're doing that we're not really onto, or they're a key partner, we're not. So there's a lot of stuff that they know, aero notes, mechanical data, probably damper builds that we don't know that they're going to be putting on that car, which is going to be built in the same shop as ours. So there's going to be some bleed over that helps.
That's my question is, how does that work?
Does the water get muddy there at all?
I think that they are going into the deal understanding that it's going to be muddy, but they believe so much in Zane, and they believe this is the best opportunity to get him reps on Sunday. And
but
there's
it's
also
a Spire-built car.
Yes. Okay. But there's also the GM component, right, where to be able to justify running a third car, it would almost have to be chartered with just the back end money and what it takes to do it. And I think, like Justin mentioned in his presser, they don't have time to outfit a third operation with just trailers and pick carts and all this stuff. So Spire certainly taking on a heap of work trying to figure out another team and figure out where to put it and all the stuff that comes along with it. But the future of it is certainly bright, and I'm excited because it's a big step. It's a huge step for us to be able to have. It's a probably another technical alliance of sorts with another good GM partner, and it's gonna just help our entire company grow, because Trackhouse, from what I believe, is sponsoring the car, or sponsors of Trackhouse will be on the car for all the races. So it's not a Spire burden to go try to sell races. So they're now concentrating on selling the races, open inventory, the 7 and the 77, and getting those whole, getting the right people in the right places, and keep building this thing one penny at a time.
There's only one thing that comes to mind when I see that Trackhouse hired him. Harry Hyde. One too many roosters in the hen house.
Well, they got too many roosters in the hen house. They got one rooster from New Zealand. It's pretty freaking good. And they got a rooster from the truck series, pretty good. And they only got 2 cars and 4 drivers.
So that's what comes to my mind is like, okay. So like, okay, maybe I'm not seeing what the vision is down the road.
I don't think they know exactly. But he's like, we got to see how
SVG develops.
Yeah, I feel like there was a little backtracking. Like, I felt like twice just in last week when the SVG announcement came out was like, 2025 is the goal and cup and blah, 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 blah. And then the same announcer, and he was asked about it. He's like, well, we're not really sure how the kid's going to develop.
He
might not even like it. Like, we don't know if he's going to make it. And everyone was asking, when the music stops, you have 2 charters and 4 drivers. Like, how does this work?
It reminds me of my fantasy football team when they're not doing so good. I just pick up people on waiver and I don't know who to play. I'm like, I just need everybody.
He's like, well, that's where alliances, like the Spire situation, like could come into play. But he said, we want to be a 3-car team, full-time team, like not Project 91.
Yeah.
In 2025. But you have 4 drivers. Yeah. So it's interesting to see. If I'm Ross Chastain or Daniel Suarez, that stresses me out. Like, now I'm sweating a little bit.
I don't know. The first name you mentioned, I wouldn't be. I don't think he's got to be too worried.
Because of the Busch beer deal?
But you talk about it.
Like, tons of sponsorship.
And he's went deep the last couple of years, and the other one hadn't even made it. So if you are the 2nd car in camp, and you see it in F1 particularly because it's exaggerated, but if you are the 2nd car in camp and you're getting beat consistently by your teammate,
it's not good.
The pressure is real.
Yeah, it's real.
But you know what? SVG may not turn out to be what everyone thinks it could be.
He's a dog.
I think he's a dog.
I mean, I don't know.
Look at Marcus Ambrose. Marcus Ambrose, I would say he just wasn't with the right team. Didn't have near the amount of tools that SVG is going to have at his disposal for development. He's going to have as many hours a week in the simulator as he wants. Motion rig, he can run any oval he wants to till his freaking retinas burn out. Marcus never had that opportunity. And he was driving for a mid to low level tier with RPM. SVG is going to have the opportunity with probably, like we said, Colleague, Nice, Trucks, Project 91 on the road courses, on the cup side, and the ability to work alongside of Ross, alongside of Zane and Daniel to get up to speed on the oval stuff. And on paper, statistically, SVG is head and shoulders above what Marcus Ambrose was in terms of success in his career when he's coming over, and he's still in the prime of his career, being 34-35 years old. I'm still on the side of the fence that I think SVG is going to learn and learn quick, but it might take 16 months to really get to a point where Trackhouse is like, all right,
well, that's about how much time Justin has to make a decision, so it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
That Zane walk, when you see, like,
that
uncertainty
is a good
with the 10
question.
Car. And, like I'm just sitting here thinking about that. You see the uncertainty
but
with
here's,
the 10 car.
But here's what's so funny. So what else came out in the presser was when the day after Justin acquired Trackhouse, Zane Smith texted him and said, what about my deal? He had signed a developmental deal with Chip Ganassi, like, days before he shut the doors. So Zane was like, what's up with me? Chip Ganassi was running Chevrolet. So Zane was out of Ford's grasp a long time ago, and we had no idea. They've had years to lock this kid down, and we're willing to let him walk.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they don't see what the rest of us see.
I don't know.
I talked to someone that said, I guess they're getting into F1 the next few years.
With Red Bull,
and there's a lot of attention diverted in that direction. I don't know how you don't keep one eye on Zane or your stock car program, or maybe they just don't see him the way, I don't know.
Or you can look at it like the Rick Hendrick development approach, where you don't need to spend the money to develop them, because when they get to a point where you feel like they're good enough where you want them, you just go give them whatever they want.
But it's not even that. Like, it's the Todd Gilliland decision at Front Row. Like, it's one thing to let him leave, but it's another when he's in the organization. Like, he was a part of that team. And that's no disrespect to Todd Gilliland, but I was shocked at that too. They've had 2 chances.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I don't have any counter argument to that because I agree with you.
But congratulations, Justin Marks. Welcome to the house, Zane Smith.
Here's
my
question. Does Ford have
a lot of people that better be sleeping in bunk beds because there ain't enough rooms for all the people at the house.
Good luck.
It's cool, man. I'm excited to work with Zane. I've been in communication with him for the last month or so as all the stuff was starting to develop. And I think he's going to bring a lot of value to our team. He's going to bring a lot of speed, and I'm excited to work with him. So
he's a good kid.
Yeah.
Dude, if he can do a host of ours done and for coming from the truck series, I mean, the host of our this weekend, another impressive run.
Limited cup starts.
Legacy's upticked their performance lately. I think they're probably getting a little bit of TRD help even, you know, towards the end of the season to try to maybe.
He outran the 43 all night, and the son of a gun drove to the top
six.
It sounds like they had a little bit of a loose wheel maybe.
He was wheeling.
Pretty impressive.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Do your pennies stretch as far as they used to? Most likely it doesn't. Here's why. It took 200 years for the U.S. to print its first $5 trillion. Today, Washington has done that in just 3 years. The problem, every new dollar makes each one of your dollars worth less, robbing you and every other hardworking American. You can stop this cycle of robbery by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold, an asset that has stood the test of time. Our new sponsor, Birch Gold Group, has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their retirement savings with physical precious metals. Now you can too. Get a free info kit on gold right now by texting the word Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the BBB, you're in good hands with Birch Gold. So get your free info kit by texting Corey to the number 989-898. Go check them out. Put some pennies in some gold.
Going back to your incident, the wreck, and I know you're obviously concerned about yourself. At what point, though, did you realize the implications of what happened with Joey, the 22?
Like Sunday afternoon.
Shut up.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't care about anybody's race.
I care about my race until like, I wake up the next morning. And I'm Joey's buddy. And I texted him and said, hey, sorry, I got caught up in my mess.
What'd he say?
He said, I hate it too. Shouldn't have been back there.
That's what he said
on Sirius too.
So
He never took it personal.
Yeah, hey, I mean.
It wasn't personal.
I took it personal. I lost a lot of bonus money on that.
No, you didn't.
So you're gonna, yes, I did. And you're going to buy my kids Christmas present.
The other Penske car, your car made it.
Yeah. I mean, that's I've been at Penske for a decade now. And that's the worst we've ever run in Bristol, I would say. I don't remember ever, especially with Ryan, we always lead laps there.
Yeah, he's fast.
So, I think you alluded to it on what they talked about on Sirius today.
So I was kind of surprised. Joey really peeled back the curtain and said there was a, quote, intense meeting at Penske on Monday. That involved drivers, crew chiefs.
And the captain.
I'm sure it went pretty high up the ladder. And it was a come to Jesus. We need to look ourselves in the mirror, man up. And what the bleep is wrong. Like that. We've never seen that before. The defending champion has never been bounced in the first round. And for Team Penske, that sounded an alarm. And I think lit a fire under everyone's ass.
I think the whole, like if you just look back at the last three races, right? The 22 car scored one playoff point. Like that team is much better than that. And to your point, they won the championship last year. They're not even a full year away, you know, past that. So there's a lot of good people there. Obviously, that's well above my pay grade. But when you look at, okay, the Fords have been off, but then you watch the 34, who's not even a key partner team, running the top five all night.
Shout out, Peterson.
Yeah, shout out to Peterson. It's like, okay.
The 17?
Yeah, it's like, okay, hey, their speed's here.
Yeah.
Where's the disconnect? And that, you know, that's there's a lot of people that are very smart at Penske that make a lot of money that have to figure out how to get these cars to go around, and they're going to, right? They're not going to sit on their heels and say, well, we'll try again next year when we get a new nose or we get this. They're not going to say that. They're going to say, we need to fix it right now. And you saw the same group of guys figure out how to make the Dodges win, right? And their backs were against the wall with Dodges in, what was it, 2012? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of the same core guys, and they figured out how to get that Dodge to run and go and win the race. And it's the same thing. Like, I feel like right now the cycle kind of goes in 3 or 4 weeks. We're like, the Hendrick cars are really good. The RFK cars were good for 3 or 4 weeks. The Toyotas are really good for 3 or 4 weeks. So it could be, I hope, right? I hold hope in this because it's my team. I hope that they, you know.
Yeah, hope for you in the round of 12. You'll find it soon.
Well, I think if you can draw up a round of 12 that's good for our cars, it's this one, especially for Ryan. But, you know, when you get the round of 8 is no joke. And the round of 8 is almost as tough, if not tougher, than the first round. Vegas, Homestead, and Martinsville.
You are working your way to the tippy point of the spear, too, right? I mean, you're looking at 12 guys. I don't know how many of them are or were champions, right? I mean, but all of those guys are capable of winning a championship each and every race.
Three Fords went home in the first round.
Yeah.
Three of the four eliminated Fords, which leads us to the other shocker, Kevin Harvick.
Couldn't will him home.
He wasn't shocked. He wasn't shocked about it.
No, he wasn't.
I was shocked about?
You're right.
You know what I was shocked about? That my friend,
after I crashed,
just this guy's last race at Bristol, just out there, and he just smashes right into him, puts him in the fence.
How could
I you? Said, damn. He's an old man.
I felt bad about that, actually, like coming off two. He just parked it. Granted, I probably was a little bit frustrated at myself, but my car was driving good enough to where I was like legitimately better than him, still crashed. And he was a little bit tentative in turn one on a restart, and I just like kind of misjudged it and got him into the bumper. Did like the flop flop pow, and I was like, oh, sorry. And then he caught me, and I was just like, just go. I'm sorry.
Mercy.
Go around me.
But he was 5 laps down.
He had a really rough day, and he was like walking back, like, yeah, man, we suck.
I feel hate to see bad it. For Harvick.
Hate to see it.
Come on, Stuart Haas. Give our boy a little bit. How are you not going to give him more than
I still think he gets one before the year's over.
No way.
No?
All right. Not if they're going to run like
checked
that.
Out and his walk
they're
back,
not even like, close.
And he kind
of. I would love to see him
I'm
do it.
I'm speaking out of this.
You're talking with your heart, not your head.
Yes.
I would love, don't get me wrong. I hope he does. It's like the moment that I've been waiting for all season. Like just one more. But after nights like that, like, doesn't give you a lot of hope.
No. Doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies.
No.
But do you know who has the warm and fuzzies?
Dennis.
That fellow right there. On the big screen, fist raised in celebration.
One liner of the year.
Just to the boos of the crowd. And it's almost like it feeds the fire with him.
He's totally.
The more boos, like, it adds to his, like, Thanos power, you know? He's like, give it, like, look at his face.
Oh my God.
He's got the tiger.
Oh my God.
Hulk Hogan NWO heel. Full heel.
Full animal attack. My God.
Oh man, it's everybody likes a winner, right? So it's can't think this whole thing
up.
Enough. Just yeah, they really kicked
apparently not
this
everybody likes
to win. Just amazing how good our team has been. Just so happy about the way we're running and can't wait to keep going.
You've made many championship four runs, Denny. Is something different with the 11 team this year, though?
It's our year. I just put together. We got the speed every single type of racetrack, and, you know, nothing to stop us at this point.
So are these fans motivation for you? There's a lot of boos out there.
Hey. I beat your favorite driver.
And who would that be?
All of them.
That's pretty good.
Denny Hamlin did beat them all tonight. Rick, win number 50.
That was pretty good. I got to give it to him there. Obviously victorious. Got to give it to him on that, but just a shot across the bow at the competitors.
Dude, he should have won the first three
all
races
three
of the year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not surprising, but
I'm a little bit confused though. What has Denny done specifically besides have a little bat with Ross Chastain that warrants the amount of booze that he gets?
You're kidding.
No.
Okay. Where do we begin?
Hit me.
Let's go.
Bristol a few years ago,
Just recently.
With Clyde.
Talking about recently.
The hack line with Bowman.
No, Martinsville.
Martinsville.
Yeah. He did just try to wipe him out there. Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
That's one.
Shower of booze.
Hey, let's go back. I'm not going to hate on Chase, but he moved the two car first, so it was fair game at Martinsville.
I'm just saying this is where I think how we're building, how we're getting to this point.
No, I appreciate this. I've been trying to think
Parking in front of Bowman on the front stretch after the win and calling him a hack.
Okay, yep.
Kept percolating.
Okay.
Dooring Larson and taking a win away at Pocono.
Okay.
Bad.
Ross Chastain, too.
And Ross Chastain. And then lying and – okay, not lying. Saying that he never touched him.
Okay.
Mercilessly booed for that.
I think his podcast hurts him.
Larson at Kansas earlier this year.
Ooh, yeah, that one do it too.
I don't think that Chase fans probably love that because of Denny, and I'm not saying this one's his fault, Chase got suspended at the Coke's after the Coke 600.
That was a big one. Yep, that's
quite the list, actually.
Yeah,
I heard that Carl
Edwards. Some of the most popular drivers. Like, he's not getting into it with no names. Like, he's pissing off large fan bases.
Do you think some of the Chase Elliott fans are sticking up for Kyle Larson as well and be like, hey, you picked on my teammate?
I heard a lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, where were they last?
He's had a couple good ones. I will say that was a 9.4 out of 10 witty response. I almost like the one after Pocono where he said, you can boo my rock out front.
Boo my rock was
that
good.
That one was like a 9.9.
The Joey Logano. Because
that was like
you
got to kind of like, if you know, you know. And like a lot of those people probably don't know there's rocks in the infield.
I'm going to stand in front of that rock and boo it next year. Boo, you rock.
Make sure we get it on camera because that'll be a good reel on Instagram.
At the NASCAR 75, Carl Edwards, I guess he was on stage, and they announced Kyle Busch, and it was like half-assed like cheers. And they announced Denny, and it was like full-blown booze. And Carl Edwards was like, what the hell has changed? Where have I been?
Yeah, where have you been, dude?
Yeah, he's like, what the hell is going on here? But yeah, like.
Proudly wearing the black hat right now.
But to your point, Kyle Busch is like kind of getting cheered.
He's also winning a lot of races.
Yeah.
This is when Kyle Busch was at his height of getting booed, he was the one that was supposed
races.
To win 3 out of 5.
Yep.
And, you know, or the 3 out of 3.
But I think, and I don't know if I got into it with someone about this, they said it's because he drives a Toyota. I'm like,
No. Not at all.
It's not. Nope. Does Truex get booed? Does C-Bell get booed?
No.
I mean, that's.
Bubba does.
But I think that's because of who Bubba, the personality that Bubba is.
But he employs Bubba. So does that feed into a little bit of it?
I think that's reading into it a little bit too much.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Regardless, my man's on a heater right now.
Yeah. He's aggressive. He doesn't apologize. He's taking wins away from people and, like, relishing in it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know?
Right.
Like, he almost, then he gets on his podcast and he doesn't help his case.
Oh, he doubled down.
He doubled down on it.
I love it.
But if you're backing it up and you're confident in your team and they're going to keep giving you hot rods each and every week, you can go on there and talk that talk and walk that walk.
He'll be the villain. He's like, bring it on.
Is this his year?
That's what he says.
That's what he said.
I'm not going to disagree with the man.
Hey, I'm
That's
not,
what he said.
Listen, Cowboys and Eagles and all them say it every year. The Eagles finally won one.
Right? They did.
It's going to be. I'm not saying no, but like.
I can tell you one thing. If you don't think it is, then it won't be.
Well, he thought it. I mean, I don't think you're going
to
like.
He's got T-shirts from previous years, even though they might be able to use T-shirts this year, and then this might be the one.
It'd be hard to argue against him right now.
But I thought he had the loudest boos. Like, driver intros, I was talking to him like, oh, dang, who did? It was Denny.
Mm.
That was before the race. This was worse. After
had him fired up.
Yeah. He loves it.
Momentum's a cruel mistress.
And I'm sure Kyle Busch is like, thank God.
You think? I don't think. No, I don't think so. I think Kyle's like, well, I wish
he misses the attention, even if it's negative attention.
Yes, yes.
It's like Juan Pablo used to say. At least as long as they're making noise. As long as they're making noise. Not a lot of action on Pit Road this week, but I do have the Dogs of the Week queued up.
Do we? Let's just go ahead and get on into that Pit Road Boats and Woes and the Dogs coming to you right after this.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
For me, race day is a great reason to shut down the laptop, put the phone on silent, and simply enjoy the driving. But Mobile One wants to remind you that you can get that same kind of escape any day of the week. How? By simply hopping in your car, rolling the windows down, and hitting the road. No emails, no calls, no work, just freedom. Mobile One, for the love of driving. Time for some pit road boats and woes. Couple on pit road, not a very newsworthy night. Couple guys were solid, couple teams struggled, and one team recovered. What we got?
Yeah, so, man, we talked in spare change about how you were adamant about the five car not being able to get to the front.
Well, I was wrong.
And, like, who would have thought that that race played out that way? We only pitted four times, and the 11 car gets a speeding penalty on lap 71. You think he takes himself out of it, he's right back to the front. Same sequence of pit stops. The five car runs over equipment, back to the back, right back to the front. So it was crazy to see. It's crazy to see those guys, just how quickly they were able to get back up front, whether it was strategy or just their cars were better. I think that's one thing about, like, a bottom-dominant Bristol is, like, the 20 car was just turning better than everybody else there at the beginning, and he just drove by everybody.
Yeah.
So those guys rebounded. They had a really good night on pit road. I saw the Twitter people.
I think it was interesting, though. You see the 20, right? He was dominant in the beginning and wasn't quite as good when it opened up and went to the top.
Yeah.
The balance of your car changes to the free side almost two numbers. So if your stuff is turning really good on the bottom, you're probably going to be too free on the top.
Well, the track got colder. Like, is it, the track got colder and colder too, right? Does it end?
Well, the car's not as loaded as much on the top, right? You load into the banking on the bottom. It's one big compression. So if you're trying to get your car to react the same, it's not going to have the same load on it. So we generally hedge our bet to be free when you run on the bottom and start tightening it up as we work throughout the night.
So dumb question. They came in, pitted from the lead. They chose to wait on fuel.
The 20?
The 20 car chose to wait on fuel, so they lost three spots on pit road because they're waiting on fuel. That puts them out of clean air, like you talked about earlier. That was super important. Now your balance is different.
Yeah.
Once you've lost control of the race, do you think that could have factored into it? Like, okay, now we're back here and lose control of the race. And
you could adjust your car for dirty air.
Yeah.
And might not ever get it back to the point of being good enough. I don't know.
I think it's a safe play. Like, people are like, why would he wait on fuel? But as the race was going, like, there was a chance that you ran
under green
all the way. And yeah, if they finish fifth, they're on to the next round. If they run out of fuel, it's like you could be in some serious trouble.
So
here.
They waited on fuel for the last stop.
Maybe it was the second to last stop. The 54 won the race out off pit road, and that's why they
are the dogs of the week.
The dogs of the week. They yeah. P1 on pit road. From the outhouse to the penthouse.
It's funny how the times have changed.
These boys were getting booed out of the stadium. Now, P1 on average. But yeah, they
ate their Wheaties.
I mean, it just goes to show you, like, we said when they got pulled off the car, like, they could go on any playoff car and be great. And they're
motivated dogs.
Yeah, and Ty was fast. It looked like they were gonna win the race.
What happened?
Old crafty veteran. The 11 team was super solid too. They come and come snook it from them.
Mm.
But yeah, the 54 guys, like I said, they've had a rough year. I know the pain. I've gotten destroyed on Twitter myself, along with 12 car guys. But yeah, the 54.
Sweet redemption.
Jackson Gibbs front changer.
Dog.
He's the lineage, the heritage, the franchise.
Dog.
I don't know what's a good
OG
nickname
dog
for the grandson. No, he's a young buck.
A little.
Yeah.
You call him pups.
He's a pup.
But he's still a dog.
He's a dog. App State, that's like a homecoming race for him. App State football player.
Jackson Gibbs.
Jackson Gibbs. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, Nick,
what a resume.
Yeah, Nick McBeth is your tire carrier. See, I see him walking around out here. I guess he lives down here whenever we leave the studio.
Dog.
I was told this weekend, this is fitting, because rear changer, Kayvon, not Kevin, Kayvon Jackson.
Dog.
He might be the prettiest guy on pit road. Gets haircut once a week. Learn that this week.
So does Sparks.
This guy's prettier than Sparks.
I'll believe when I see it.
Maybe my favorite Jack man of all time. Longtime teammate, Braxton Brannan.
Mm. Dog.
Remember when Braxton's had a lot of highlights, won a couple championships. Remember when, though, the two car missed the box at Pocono and just
put him on the hood.
Motored his guys? No, it just threw him up in the air. That's Braxton.
Took a tumble.
Oh, yeah. Big, big tumble. But, yeah, Braxton's been – he actually retired. He was on the 22 car last year. And he actually retired this year and was done.
And then unretired?
And
like Brett Favre?
Joe Gibbs called him.
Got to answer when that guy called.
Like Truex.
And,
yeah. Coach is hard to say no to.
They needed some leadership, some veteran leadership for their team, and he came back. And yeah.
Now, what would be the average age of somebody like Braxton retiring?
I think he retired early.
34?
35, 36, 40, right? So, yeah, he retired. I think he retired a little early. He probably could have done it a couple more years. Jackman's a hard spot to run for a long time because it's just so demanding, right? It's the most demanding spot in the sport, I think. It's got so much going on. And
well, you're jacking it. You're hanging it the right front tire.
Tire.
Then you're really and truly the speed of the stop dictated on how fast Jackman can get the left side pick.
Yeah, but you're also dictated on when the car leaves, right?
He
so you have to
it.
Not only are you doing probably the most physically demanding job, it also has to be, you know, the most awareness in the pit stop too, because you dictate when that car drops and leaves. So it's all on you. Then the gas man, Ian Anderson.
Gas dog.
Gas dog.
Dude. Ian Anderson dog.
Happy for them boys. A little redemption.
Yeah.
He looks like Kenny Powers.
Good for them.
That guy.
Ian Anderson.
What was the fastest stop all night?
I didn't see any eights this week, but low nines. I think it's 9-1. It was a little bit slower this week, which people tend to be a little bit slower at Bristol because the risk for loose wheels, like we saw with the 42. Like the 42, that's kind of like a weird situation because it was loose, right? Like how loose is loose? Because he ran the whole last run with it.
Yeah.
But then like Denny knew there was a problem right away at Darlington and pitted the next lap. So like there's stuff that like I change tires for a living and I don't understand how this is tight and how that was loose. And like there's some stuff you see that looks super tight that is loose. And there's other stuff you see that looks super loose but is really tight. And it's like then you don't really know like is it on the locks? Is it going to rip the locks off? I think it's track dependent and corner dependent.
Yeah.
This weekend in Texas, 100 miles shorter. It's a 400-mile race.
Oh, it's going to be hot down there, too. 97.
Yeah.
Think tires are going to fall off?
Going to be warm. I hope
not if they're tight.
I think. Not fall off.
Just
figuratively. Or literally, just you figuratively. Said, like, are they going to
fall off? You tighten the nuts up.
Is there going to be speed fall off in the tires?
I think so.
You think so?
I don't know.
I mean,
we're going to find out.
I think it's a 5 pit stop race for fuel, like to be able to make it on fuel anyway. I wonder if it comes down to Kansas,
treatment.
Right?
Yeah, no track treatment. Tires won't be as crucial as they are at Kansas.
Track
Kansas
position.
Is more it's track position. I think you're going to see some twos. I think you might see some lefts.
Really?
If you can get your car to the first row or two, you will do everything you can do to get up there.
Really?
Yeah, I think you can be. I think you can defend if you're in the first two, three, four spots. If you have track position, even if you're on a tire disadvantage.
So no traction compound. Do you think you just run the bottom? Things can be bottom dominant, or
no? Because I think wherever everybody starts collectively running, that area of the track is rubbered up. So you're going to go start to find gray asphalt and move up, no matter if it's got resin or not. You're just going to be looking for gray asphalt, or use some discipline, wrap the bottom in 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4. It's really just how your car gets over the bumps, because your car, so 3 and 4 is banked so much more than 1 and 2. You want to run your car low as you can in one and two to maximize downforce, because that's the one you have to lift mostly for. Three and four has a bunch of load, a bunch of bumps. So if you're aggressive on your heights in one and two, you're probably going to be on the stops, hanging on, busting your ass in three and four. So trying to get that balance is what we're shooting for this weekend.
Cool. Well, I'm shooting for my driver to be shooting guns in Victory Lane.
Wouldn't be the first time he's done that. All-star champion last year, Ryan Blaney, knows how to get the job done at Texas. So good luck to y'all.
Gracias.
And we're going to get to y'all's hashtag penny for your thoughts questions, guys, right after this.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to Stacking Pennies, everybody. Time for some fan questions. You boys ready? Penny for your thoughts?
Yes, I got some thoughts.
You do?
Not many, but a couple.
Well, Lovesdale88 wants to know if you have thoughts about Junebug. What'd y'all think about your boy? Up in the mix Friday night until he wasn't.
Oh, man, I was so fired up. Now, I don't know how cheated up that car was. Don't care to know. All I know is Junebug was in contention like the good old days. Just like he had Steve Letarte calling the shots. It looked like his car weighed 500 pounds less than everybody else's for the amount of jump it had off of each corner. I was quite impressed. But maybe that's just because Dale Jr. is that freaking good of a driver.
Yeah,
driving the freaking excited. Wheels off of it so fast, the thing caught on freaking fire.
Yeah, he was, I mean.
Get the fire extinguisher.
Richard Petty. Get the fire extinguisher. Those guys pulled him right out. Hey, you know what those guys were? Dogs down there on pit road.
They were.
Right over
fire
there.
Fire dogs.
Saved Dale Jr.'s life.
I don't know what I'd be doing.
Toyota boys,
I was
too.
Also, Dale Jr. and fire and race cars happens too often.
Don't love it.
I don't like it at all. I mean, Dale Sr.'s ghost pulled him out of Sonoma when he called him fire in that car.
Was that Sonoma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
why
God.
Why do you think he got out so fast?
Because Dale pulled him out.
Yeah, Corvette. Yeah, I thought it was Barry made the race super interesting. And then, the race was really good. The Xfinity race was really good. Working the bottom, working the top.
Different tire strategies. Seven was strong.
Yeah.
Junior was going to be in the mix. How it played out right before stuff caught on fire, I don't think he was in the advantageous spot. I think he'd probably ran second to the seven.
Seven car was better.
But it was just cool to see the old Hellman's mayonnaise Camaro out there in the wind.
I heard saw two
Dale
fans
Jr. leading laps.
Walking back to the hotel. There was such a buzz. Like Friday night was so
much fun. Did you see the guy with the 88 sunburn on his back? I saw that guy in the morning.
You did?
He had duct tape. So I knew what his plan was in preparation, and it worked to perfection.
It looked good.
Yes.
So when it was prime time, he yanked the duct tape off, and it was just tattooed on his back.
Well, 88 and a little melanoma.
That guy was dedicated.
I saw fans going. There was so much buzz. Like hotel bars packed, team guys all watching, restaurants packed. Like
everybody
we left
watching.
Kind of at the start, and then seeing all the crowd was incredible for the Xfinity race. You got to think a large part of that was Dale.
The majority of it. Yeah.
I can't believe how much he moved his hands on the wheel.
I was tired just watching him. I was tired of just watching him. I mean,
you need to talk
right here.
To him.
I mean, he's like 9:30, and you know he goes like one double
fist. Is he left-handed?
Yeah.
Okay, because like I listen.
I was like, Dale, just keep your hands over here. You just have to move it like a lot.
Do you not push with your right hand when you turn?
I'm like a little bit of a pusher more than a yanker, but I'm left-handed too. To each their own, man. Dale Jr.'s got his own style. And it was working pretty good for him the other night. I hate it. because
I hate it for him too.
Wendell Jr. won Michigan by the grace of God of Michigan in that Batman car. I cried like a baby.
You did?
I did. Canapolis is own.
Fans were asking though, and I thought it was a fun, like I love to eavesdrop. I'm just always listening to people's conversations. And these fans were like, I wonder if Dale would have been a good boss and let Allgaier win, or if he would have taken the win for himself.
They talked about that on the podcast, and Dale's like, no, no, that's Driver Jr. That's Driver Jr.'s going to get up there and get him a win.
Well, come here and take all the money.
Did he say that?
He said that.
All-star race.
All-star race.
We come here and take all the money.
Yeah. He don't care about team orders at that point in time. He's going to get up there and rough them up.
Who's going to fire him?
No, nobody.
Kelly. Kelly would be scared to fire his ass. You're on the bench, sir.
She needs him in a few weeks. He'll be at Homestead. He's back in the car.
Is he? Okay.
Next question, the 22 and 22 asks, did you have a conversation with Joey Logano after Corey? If so, how did it go, and what was your perspective of what happened?
I texted him. I just hate your playoff run. Got caught up in my mess. Like I said earlier in the show, he said, man, it's all good. Shouldn't have been back there. Shouldn't have been in that position anyways, but, you know. As a buddy, you want to see your buddy go. You hate to see your buddy be out of the playoffs that was induced by a mistake yourself. So, but, you know, hey, it happens.
This one's kind of interesting. At Dusty Worthy, if you could change the playoff format, would you? Point system, number of cars, eliminations, etc.
I kind of like it as it is right now.
I can't think of a tweak that I would make. And I'm open because I think there's always ways that you can self-analyze, like, what can I do better? This one, top prior to bottom, is pretty good.
Prior to playoff points, there is a valid argument that it doesn't incentivize the people who rank consistently competitive in the regular season. But now they've introduced playoff points. If you get stage wins, if you get race win, 5 points. If you win the regular season playoffs, it buys you a mulligan and a half, but not 3 complete races to run like a donkey. So that's when you see a regular season playoff, a regular season champion shouldn't get a bye the first round, right? They should be under this. They should have a 15-point buffer, which is half a race of a mulligan worth of stuff if they need it. And they needed it, and they needed more.
It was barely enough, but Truex able to hang on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what did you guys think? Because we thought, I think we all kind of collectively thought the bottom four going in were the bottom four going home. We only got 50% right. Mm-hmm. Instead of Martin and Bubba, it was Joey and Kevin.
Which,
Corey's
me
fault.
Busting my ass was the one who really shook all that up. Yeah.
No.
Corey's fault.
It's like Joey said, you can't be running back there. But yeah, I don't know. Like, what I don't understand, and I don't want to hammer him too hard, but like, I don't understand why Bubba keeps crying. Like, he should be there.
So I didn't see it. What happened after the race?
He was just, like, so happy he was crying. But, like, I think that, like, I look at Bubba, and I'm like, if you were like, yeah, Bubba's going to be in the round 12, I'd have been like, okay.
It's what he should be doing, you're saying.
Like, 1,000%. I'm not going to be like, no way.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have the playoff points. They haven't been running as good as the rest. That's why I don't think people are, like, counting him out because – they don't like him as a person or think that he sucks. I think it was just like, yeah, you didn't have the playoff points and you really haven't been running good. And these guys have been a little bit better. Then he makes the round and he's like doing like the shh, like that deal. And like, I think he should be there. And I think that he should think he should be there because his whole team should be. He's got one of the best. He's got a really good team. One of the best teams in the garage.
How do you balance the excitement of making it further to Bubba himself? This is the deepest he's ever went. Denny said, I think in his post-race presser, the best Bubba's ever finished in points is like low 20-something, 21st, 22nd, somewhere in there. Now Bubba is 10 spots better at worst of his best career year.
This is his third year at 23-11?
Yeah. Yep. And also the financial bump he's going to get from every round of playoffs is probably substantial enough to make you want to cry as well.
That's where it comes.
I'd probably be shit at
the. I can get
two.
The pool and the hot tub.
All of it.
And the closet she wants.
And that car that I was looking at buying too. Yeah. Like that's like there's all of that wrapped up into it. But okay, the other side of that is they are the most well-funded team in the garage with the most resources backed by TRD. There is no position over there that doesn't have elite championship winning personnel from drivers to crew chiefs to engineers to mechanics. So then you should almost like
you should expect
it's like, okay, guys, We got three more rounds.
Yeah, three act like races. You've been there before.
And, so I haven't, so I can't say how to act. That's what your point is.
No,
right?
But that's what Ryan's point is. Yeah. Act like you've been there.
I don't know. Like,
don't sit on
but
the car.
He hasn't been there.
Yeah, but if you've been running, like
he hasn't been there. So how can you act like you've been there if you've never been there before?
Right.
I don't know.
It's a saying.
It's just like for me, and he can do whatever he wants, right? But yeah. I'm just like, for me, it's like, why are you crying? Man, you're like, you should, like, that's my point, is like,
he's excited.
It's not,
it's your job. You're expected, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
But I'm not very empathetic, so maybe that's my problem.
You need to work on that.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not Dr. Phil, but like, doesn't that tell you a lot about the pressure he was probably under then? Like, it's such a release for him.
I couldn't imagine the boss man, not Denny, the guy that just has an aura about him whenever he walks in anywhere, sitting on your pit box behind Booty.
Yes.
Like, that guy instantly brings expectations and demands perfection, particularly if he's the one, his name's probably not on the bottom of your check. You
disagree
with that?
Disagree. What? I watched the freaking Hornets play.
Corey.
All right? I watched the Bobcats and the Hornets play.
Tell your boy.
I've watched the Bobcats and the Hornets play. I want to believe.
Pressure?
I know that there's pressure. But and I want to believe that Michael Jordan wants like.
You want to know when I felt like the biggest loser in my whole life?
I'm a Hornets fan.
I was bowling with MJ. Everyone gets one roll. I'm picking teams. I don't want any freaking losers.
I'm with you.
I got one, and I'm a good bowler.
Hang on. What happened here?
Pressure.
What happened here?
Gutter ball.
Then away.
Why did you put the
bumpers
up?
Sent off in disgust. MJ was like, get out of my sight.
When was this?
I don't know. A couple years ago.
Where at?
Spare Times.
Uptown at Epicenter. You know, they used to have that.
Yeah.
Bowling alley.
What were you doing? Was there a birthday party?
After a Hornets game, that was like his spot because they let him smoke cigars in the back room. It had like two lanes. It was like a private deal.
And you bowled a gutter ball?
He kicked you out.
In front of MJ. Dude, the pressure to perform in front of that man is something you've never experienced before. That's all I got.
It's just
Muggsy Bowes of NASCAR.
I love Muggsy.
Certified.
I love Tyler.
Oh, that was a short joke?
That was a short joke.
He's a little fella.
He's small.
I think Tyler Reddick is a foot shorter than Muggsy Bogues.
He's a little guy. Did you guys know that? Who was he walking around with? Jay Balvin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew who that was.
I don't know
that. Nobody, he's the most famous person there, and nobody knew who he was.
He had a huge, like, entourage.
Not one person in Bristol knew
Mike,
who
he was. Mike, boom, Mike's freaking cameras. I'm standing outside the media center.
He was wearing a fire suit.
Who
is
G-Force,
that? G-Force fire suit.
Yeah.
My wife is Puerto Rican. I spend a lot of the winter in Puerto Rico. I know who Jay Balvin is.
So if you just walked by him, like he was at the track, you would have known who that was.
I said, there's Jay Balvin. He walked by me. I said, oh, that's Jay Balvin. And all my guys said, who's that? I said, guys, I can't. He's the most famous guy here. I think
he's the most famous guy here.
He might be more famous than MJ as far as a worldwide scope.
Dude, another ice cold. Oh, my God.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
I think as far as worldwide take. I don't think so.
No.
I think Jay Balvin is probably more relevant today than
he doesn't have a shoe line.
You guys. Everyone on the planet knows who Michael Jordan is.
Most people
know. No one at Bristol knew who that guy was except for you.
A lot of people at Bristol knew who Michael Jordan was. That's fair.
Yeah.
Point.
That's a fair point.
Like everyone.
I'm back on your side now. He still has the cold takes.
Ice cold takes.
I mean, he's from Columbia. I'm sure more people in Columbia.
I'm not saying Corey told me he has like 81 million people on it. I'm not saying he's not hugely famous. But I'm just saying But then you played us some of his music before the show and I did recognize it. I just didn't put a face with the.
We might not have had 81 million followers on my Instagram this week or ever, but we had a lot of paint stackers in Bristol.
Come on.
So we did – we've been doing appearances at the Geico tent on race days, and there's been – you know, the first one we get 100 people. Next one, there's 150 people. Now you can't even move in a Geico tent when we're up on stage. It's been awesome. And the penny stackers came out in droves this weekend. It was – wild to see all the seven merch stacking pennies, hats and shirts and the whole deal, and people passing me pennies and just screaming it and doing the whole thing. It was awesome. So one of the questions, so we opened up the questions on the Geico stage. First question. Yeah, you over in the back. Hey, can I be penny stacker of the week? I said, no, you're already disqualified. You know the rules. The rules are, Danielle, I don't know if you're new to this, you can't ask to be penny stacker of the week.
It's number one rule.
Now you can ask, you can nominate somebody else on their behalf. And they can then be penny stacker of the week. Sorry, pal. Appreciate you listening to the show, but now you
just
disqualify yourself.
Crush somebody. How old was he?
mid-30s. Oh, looked like a good-looking
old
guy.
Old enough to know better.
Apparently, old enough to know better. Second question. Yeah, you, sir, in front. Hey, can my wife be Penny Stagger of the Week? Absolutely.
It's allowed.
Yeah.
So,
I'll allow it.
Well, there's one guy for the last 4 or 5 years, Tyler Turner. Every single post I put on Instagram, he leaves a little goat emoji consistently. Doesn't matter what topic is, my man's leaving a goat on every post. He asked his wife, I believe her name is Melissa Turner, to be Penny Stacker of the Week. So she is as well. She's nominated. And then Janet Scott, she's the OG Penny Stacker as well. She drove like 6 hours to Bristol to just see me at Trackside Live, Geico, and then obviously watch the race. Glad we had a decent car, led some laps for her. And then I sent the selfie. Remember, I was like on the fence about forgetting that girl's name from the previous week. I was like, I think it's Madison from California. Well, I was right. Apparently, her and her family are going to every single racetrack. Where was that 2 weeks ago we were at? Maybe Darlington, Kansas.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
No, she was at Kansas. Next thing you know, she turns up at Bristol, Tennessee. Avid fans.
Wow.
So shout out again to her. So many Penny Stackers a week. And you guys are Penny Stackers a week too, because you continue to tune in with us. Hopefully you guys are liking what we're doing for it, because we're having a blast doing it. 7 races left to go in the season, guys. Make sure you guys continue to listen to us on Spare Change race day mornings. We're having a lot of fun after P&Q, breaking down lap averages and giving you some tips on who you might want to put in your fantasy pools. Also, continue to tweet at us, hashtag Penny for your thoughts, and we'll get to those each and every week. Continue to like, download, share, rate, review, all the things. Thank you for tuning in to Stacking Pennies, presented by Mobile One. Talk to you next week.